to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Second hour of tonight's installment of the political cesspool now upon us. Welcome. Good to be here. Good to have you here with me Saturday evening, November 13th, 2010. I'm James Edwards sitting in tonight at our flagship studios, AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, broadcasting to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, and of course simulcasting online as well at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. At both of those websites, you'll be able to find our broadcast archives of shows past dating back many, many, many moons. We're now in our seventh year of broadcasting. Can you believe it? Another great show taking place this very evening. Keith Alexander the Great, everybody. What an incredible first hour, as it always is with him. We talked about quite a few topics. I guess the highlights of that first hour, at least for me, were the discussions that we had concerning Liberty University and their commissioning of this rap video in order to boost enrollment. And of course, that would be bad enough at any school, but when you think of Liberty University, the largest Christian university in the world, commissioning a gangster rap video in order to boost enrollment, I don't know. Just doesn't really go over well with me. We also talked in a more positive manifestation. We talked about Representative Curry Todd, a local elected official here in southwest Tennessee in the Memphis area, member of the Tennessee State House of Representatives. He told the truth about illegal immigration, and he has fiercely, defiantly refused to apologize. And we've got some information about that, both of those stories, in fact, information about both of those stories at our official internet headquarters. We encourage you to check them out, read them, watch the videos, and leave a comment. You can do it all and more at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Speaking of videos, you know, we had a great live show last week in Nashville, Tennessee. It was a remote broadcast from a Council of Conservative Citizens National Board of Directors meeting. And while we were there, in addition to doing a rousing and reveling three-hour program in front of a live audience, we had the opportunity, or at least I did, to do a political cesspool video with Gordon Baum, the chief executive officer of the Council of Conservative Citizens. We actually took that video, which we posted to our YouTube channel just a few minutes prior to the live show last week. It's good to be home, but it was great to be up there, and we encourage you to check that out. You can check that out at thepoliticalcesspool.org or go to our channel on YouTube. We're just beginning to scratch the surface with this political cesspool video project. We've already had thousands and thousands of views on YouTube, and we seek to use the videos and YouTube to bring more people to this radio program, where they're getting commentary the likes of which they are not finding anywhere else on AM/FM radio, that much I guarantee. But stay tuned, because there's a lot more we have planned with this video project, and we look forward to continuing to evolve it for you. Now, getting down to some political commentary this hour, everything is racist in this day and age. We know, according to my book, which I think is the book on this issue, racist is simply a white person. That's what it means. Racism is anything a white person does that liberals don't agree with. Everything is hate. Everything is racism. Everything is Nazism, the Klan. You know, if you say anything that even marginally resembles a conservative comment, it's one of those things. It's bigoted. It's anti-Semitic. It's just one of those, you know, crazy adjectives. And to prove how crazy it is, and I have so many examples of this in my book. I tell you, if you read the book, and you know, we've been promoting the book now. It came out in June, so what I'm saying here isn't news to you, unless you're perhaps tuning into the show for the first time tonight. But this book really is the key, I think, to unlocking this socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. And you can buy it. And the holidays are coming up. Christmas is coming up. I guess I just committed a hate crime by saying the word Christmas on the air, but that's okay. Christmas is coming up, and if you're looking for Christmas gifts, my book would make a good one, racismbook.com. But as I was saying, and getting back to the point, everything's hate in this day and age. My book talks about a lot of these topics, but it didn't quite cover this one. This is the newest example of hate. The Red Cross is now a symbol of hate. The Red Cross. You know, the Red Cross, the doctors and the medics that go and help people in war zones. The Red Cross is now a racist organization with a symbol of hate as its banner. This story comes from England, the mother country. How sad. A politician is saying that the International Red Cross needs to come up with a new symbol and a new name because the Red Cross is offensive. Why is it offensive? Because it reminds Muslims in the United Kingdom of the Crusades. Now, I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, they have to be some very, very old Muslims to have lived through the Crusades. That's all I can say. They don't know anything about the Crusades. Yeah, but yet, somehow they're offended because of something that happened, something that rightfully happened. I mean, we were right in those Crusades, and there's nothing to be ashamed of for that. But so they're offended for something that happened, 300-400 years ago? Longer than that, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. A labor minister, the story reads, has sparked controversy by claiming that an alternative symbol is needed for the Red Cross because of the logo's links to the Crusades. Foreign office minister, now it'd be one thing if this was some crazy Muslim or some crazy Jewish person who was offended of the cross. This is an Englishman. Foreign Office Minister Chris Bryant said that the historic emblem risked undermining the work of the humanitarian organization. That to have a Red Cross on your banner undermines the work, he said. His intervention came as military police debated the adoption of the Red Crystal, a diamond-shaped badge, to avoid religious connotations of the cross and crescent symbols currently used by the international body. The founding conference of the Red Cross movement in 1863 adopted a red cross on a white background, the reverse of the Swiss flag, as the emblem of the voluntary medical personnel who assisted the wounded on the battlefield. It was never intended to have any religious meaning, they say now, and is thought to have been intended as a tribute to traditionally neutral Switzerland, who hosted the conference. However, the symbol has now unintentionally raised suggestions that it was somehow linked to a military order which took part in the Crusades, the centuries-long series of military campaigns waged by Christians from Europe. Subsequently, a red crescent emblem was adopted in tandem. But see, that wasn't enough for them. That wasn't enough. Now you got to get rid of the cross altogether, but I'm sure it's okay for the crescent to stand. Now, you'll probably find this story, perhaps you've heard about it already, on other conservative websites too, with lots of denunciations of Muslims and their hatred of Christianity. Well, what you won't find on mainstream websites is any discussion of the fact that Israel has refused to allow the Red Cross in their country for decades, because of their raging hatred of Jesus Christ. But you'll hear that here on the Political Cesspool, and you'll hear more right after these words.
More Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Just covering at the top of this hour a story out of the United Kingdom. The Red Cross is now a symbol of hate. You know, I was actually on a radio program last night. I made mention of it at the top of the first hour. I was a guest, an invited guest on another radio program, and they asked me what I thought the future of our people was going to be. And it's easy for us to get sucked into the gloom and despair if we just focus on that which has happened, or you know, the current trends of the last 50 or 60 years. But if you take a step back, I think we're going to be okay. I think in the long run, we're going to be okay. You look back at the beauty and the intelligence and all of the accomplishments, the culture, the carving of civilizations, the history of our people, if you take it all and not just focus on the weaknesses of our people that have been exploited and the vulnerabilities that have been found over the course of the last 50 or 60 years. But if you take it all into to assessment, I think we're going to be okay. I think that, a culture as esteemed as ours is not going to allow itself to be silenced forever. I just can't believe that the people who put a man on the moon are going to allow themselves to be written out of history without so much as a fight. So I think we'll be okay. You know, you hate to see things like this, our people just rolling over, allowing the Christian cross to now be likened to a hateful symbol. But in the long run, in the grand scheme of things, I think we will turn and fight at some point. I don't know what it's going to take. If I did know, I would certainly tell you. I don't know why we haven't done so already on a national or international level, but I'm going to be optimistic. However, you're certainly going to get no optimism from this next story, which comes from our own armed services. I wrote about this on my blog as well at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Before long, every platoon is going to look like a meeting of the United Nations. The United States Army now has a Sikh among their ranks of enlisted men. Sikh being, of course, Indians, Hindi. And he didn't have to cut his hair at all. A member of the United States Armed Forces, he has an exemption. I guess because he's non-white, he's allowed to keep his beard, and he's allowed to wear his turban. Now, I'm not sure if he's still required to follow orders, but I'm going to check into that. The Army says these compromises are necessary because of diversity and the cost of empire. They need his language skills, they say. Specialist Simran Lamba was recruited under a special program seeking speakers of two Indian languages, Hindi and Punjabi. The 26-year-old Indian immigrant from New Delhi completed basic training Wednesday, this was last Wednesday, at Fort Jackson outside of Colombia and became a United States citizen. He will be a combat medic. So this is diversity related, they say. We need Army men who can better relate to the different cultures encountered in our far-flung empire. And, of course, that led me to the logical conclusion that perhaps the military, now that they are about to lift its ban on homosexuals, does this mean that we're getting ready to invade San Francisco? Well, we will keep tabs on that for you as well. But, again, the story, this was, I think, the first Indian Sikh in the in Sikh spelled S-I-K-H, the first Sikh that's been allowed in a number of decades. All in the name of diversity, ladies and gentlemen. Death by diversity. Diversity is our greatest strength. America's becoming a third world country. We gotta keep tabs on this stuff. We gotta do better than what we're doing. We're doing all we can here at the Political Cesspool, and God bless everyone for tuning in and for supporting us. We have a caller on the line right now from Connecticut. Let's find out what he has to say. You're on
Hello,
the air.
Jim. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I'm the one who caught Tim Wise editing his blog entry where he took out the passage about waiting for white people's hearts to stop.
Right.
And how he was looking forward to that. And
yeah, I appreciate that.
He went viral
that.
On the web, and we've got him, I think we've got him back on his heels. And I think the next thing to go after him with is the fact that he is he's inciting people to, daring them to commit violence at his college engagements where he gives speeches.
Right.
And he's also telling people to commit suicide. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, he wasn't hardly speaking in code when even in the edited version, it was still pretty obtuse. And so, yeah, I don't think you have to read in between the lines at all to get the what he was driving at there. And of course, it's all well and good that he says it. Now, he did get a little bit of a of a condemnation. Very, very slight slap on the hands there by the establishment media. Not very much at all compared to that which, you know, this representative here in Tennessee is enduring this week for saying that illegal aliens breed too much and they're taking advantage of our system. But, yeah, I mean, now, the double standards in play here, and Tim Wise, I mean, you couldn't get more in your face than that.
Now, where did you see him get any condemnation?
Well, certainly not on CNN. I guess you asked me now, I mean, on our website, if that counts. But there was a couple of obscure websites out there. But, yeah, when he was on CNN, you bring up a good point since you asked the question. They certainly didn't hold him to the fire about that at all, as they would have had a conservative white activist said anything of the sort about any of the protected minorities in this country. Of course, we have enough tact and civility not to you know, advocate violence and death and carnage. But, you know, again, he's got the pass for obvious reasons.
Well, all right, I want the listeners out there I want them to get this. Suicide is a mortal sin. You know, I know with the Catholics it is, and I'm sure with the other Christian denominations, I mean, suicide is frowned upon. And this is a person who's advocating, who's encouraging people to commit suicide. And if he's talking at a university that thinks it's like Christian in any way, they have to consider whether they want a speaker who incites people to commit suicide. Because, I mean, that's like even the worst thing. That's even worse than committing murder in Catholicism. It's the worst sin ever. And he's like telling people to put a gun in their mouth and blow their own heads off. And I mean, I think this is really what needs to be publicized about this person.
Yeah, and the thing about Tim Wise is that this is hardly the exception to the rule, as with so many. Now, I know he's pretending that he's Jewish, and I think with what I have read, his father was Jewish, but the mother was not, and so therefore, technically, he can't be. But nevertheless, he thinks he is, and he's certainly acting as though he is. This is the kind of radical, violent Zionism that we see all too often. He is scheduled to speak here very soon in Tennessee at Suwanee University, the College of the South. Well, maybe that's in Georgia. I think that's in Georgia, actually. Right here in the South, anyway. And they're going to allow him to continue. Western Voices World News had put up a link for people to email the university and, of course, forward them his comments. And I have received emails from some of our listeners who have done that. And basically, the university is saying, so what? But we've got 15 seconds. We'll give you the final word.
Okay. My site is mindweaponsandragnarok.wordpress.com. It's very active. I think the number one problem we have is anti-intellectualism. We've been told that anti-intellectualism is cool and that it's weak or a feat to be intellectual, and that's how we've lost. We have to reclaim the life of the mind. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for coming on and making some very astute observations and some very good points. We appreciate you, and thanks for listening. We'll be back with more right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, getting down to business here once again in the political cesspool. First of all, I guess I should welcome you back to the show. Thanks for sticking with us throughout the commercial break. Got our first of two excellent guests this evening, and this is a fellow that we have a great deal of respect for. We should have been on the show weeks ago, but we're proud to have finally been able to get him on the show tonight. Kyle Bristow. Kyle, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me, James.
No, the pleasure is all ours. Thanks for coming on with us tonight. You have written a provocative new book that is getting rave reviews and pretty brisk sales on Amazon. It's entitled White Apocalypse, and we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of that in just a minute. I'm sure it's a title that many of our listeners are already familiar with, judging by the grouping here at Amazon. I see books that are frequently brought together, and we'll talk about that in a moment also. But, Kyle, give us a little bit of information about your background. You first started making news in these right-of-center circles that we travel in a few years ago.
Correct. When I was a student at Michigan State University in undergrad, I chaired the chapter of the Young Americans for Freedom there. And as the chairman, I sponsored speeches by Congressman Tom Tancredo, Nick Griffin of the British National Party, Chris Simcox of the Minuteman Civil Defense Corps, and Jennifer Gratz, who sued the University of Michigan over its affirmative action policies and actually took her case all the way to the Supreme Court, the Gratz v. Bollinger. And our speakers covered a number of topics, but our favorite was anti-immigration advocacy and opposing affirmative action. And believe it or not, but back in 2006, with the Michigan Civil Rights Initiative, which banned affirmative action when it was passed, the Jennifer Gratz, who led the campaign, thanked my campus organization for being at the forefront of that campaign.
Yeah, so you're definitely not new to political activism for our movement, and you've certainly got a lot of credentials to your work and rubbing elbows there with people who certainly are not lightweights, Chris Simcox, Nick Griffin, Representative Tom Tancredo, among others. And you got a lot of press and a lot of condemnation, but from all the right people during your stint as a leader there on campus.
Right. And we did face much adversity for taking a stand. I myself have been physically attacked. A seven-month pregnant woman who was the wife of a friend of mine, she was physically attacked by Latinos. Our property has been vandalized. We have been chased by actual lynch mobs, people carrying baseball bats, two-by-fours, and wooden canes. And, we've courageously stood up for our people and our people's interests. And in doing so, we have garnered a lot of media publicity over the years. I was interviewed by Bill O'Reilly on Fox News, and Sean Hannity quoted me on one occasion. I haven't done too much activism since I graduated from Michigan State, though. I'm now a law student at the University of Toledo, and I just wrote a book that I wrote to bring attention to the plight of our people.
Well, and it's more than just a book, ladies and gentlemen. It is an epic, and it was important for me to preface Kyle's extraordinary political activism before we got into the book, just to give you a little bit of a background. And I think you know now what kind of a man we're dealing with and why he is more than deserving of a guest spot on our program tonight. But that being said, and all that being established, he is on tonight to promote his book, White Apocalypse. It is a novel, a work of fiction, but it certainly carries a message that we can all sink our teeth into. And that is exactly what's been done, Kyle, by some of the most prominent thinkers in this movement today. Talk a little bit before we get into the overview of the book about some of the people who have reviewed it.
Right, yeah, it's the who's who of the Patriot movement. Craig Bodecker, the producer of A Conversation About Race, Dr. Thomas Bob Stunick, Dr. Kevin McDonald, Dr. Virginia Dean Abernethy, Billy Roper, Harold Covington, Kevin Strom, Dr. Michael O'Mara, you, of course, Paul Fromm, and Andrew Yeoman.
So, ladies and gentlemen, right there, I think you've, just about 90% of that list have been ladies and gentlemen who have been featured on this program before. So Kyle Bristow certainly shares high quality company indeed. So let's talk about the book now, Kyle, with the stage being set. White Apocalypse, what's it all about?
The gist of my book is that governments and leftist organizations are covering up crimes that have been committed against white people throughout world history. And a few brave characters in the novel are trying to reveal the truth to the world, that white people are the perennial victims of genocide, that they are victims and not the aggressors. And I explore many different historical occurrences through the plot. The characters talk about what the Muslims have done to Europe, both in the Iberian Peninsula and in the Balkans. I talk about what Hannibal did, what Attila the Hun did, what Genghis Khan did, and a prominent theme of the novel too, is about the Solutrean hypothesis as well, which posits that white people were in the Americas prior to the Indians coming over, from across the Bering Straits about 12,000 years ago. And there's a lot of evidence to support this theory, and in real life, evidence that has come to light has been covered up by the U.S. government quite literally. And I refer to the Kennewick Man incident, which we can get into later if you'd like, but in that situation, over in Oregon, really close to the city of Kennewick, Washington, it was right on the border, about a 10,000-year-old skeleton was found that had racially white features. And when it was discovered, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers promptly dumped thousands of tons of gravel on the archaeological dig site to prevent other artifacts from being discovered.
That's right, and that's been, I can't say very well documented, but it hasn't actually been kept an airtight secret either. So these are all messages and themes that you explore throughout the chapters of this book. Now, let me ask you this. Why did you choose to present these ideas? And I think what you've done here, let me first say that I appreciate what you've done in presenting this to the reader as a work of fiction, because you are able to add elements of adventure and suspense and drama, so on and so forth, that you wouldn't find if you had tried to present these facts and these ideas in a more academically written novel. So why did you choose to go with the novel, a fictional novel, rather than an academic tome?
Well, I thought that the medium of fiction would be very powerful in getting our ideas across, and that's why I chose to write this in a novel. The novel is about 258 pages, and it's action packed. However, I spliced in quite a bit of information, a lot of historical information, and hopefully it will garner support for our movement.
Well, I think it's been doing that already, to say the least. It certainly attracted a lot of attention, not just from the very renowned names that Kyle just went through, the people that have endorsed and promoted and reviewed this book, but also from some more nefarious types. We're going to get into that during the second segment. But before we go any further at all, Kyle, let's go ahead and let people know how they can get a copy of this wonderful book in their hands.
Right. One can go to my website at kylebristow.com and click the link at the top of the page, or one can go to amazon.com and do a search for White Apocalypse or my name, Kyle Bristow, and they can find my novel on those websites for $17.76.
$17.76, that's a price that's certainly right. And, Kyle, we have 30 seconds left till break. I just want to repeat the information that you just gave to the listening audience. KyleBristow.com. That's B-R-I-S-T-O-W, KyleBristow.com, to get a copy of White Apocalypse. Or go to Amazon.com, which I have a feeling, Kyle, that many Political Cesspool listeners have already done. We're going to talk about it more right after these words. Stay tuned, everybody. Novelist Kyle Bristow, a hero of our people, author, coming back to talk more about his debut book, White Apocalypse.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
G. Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. What we're doing right now is promoting the epic novel, the debut novel of Kyle Bristow. It's entitled White Apocalypse. And I want to tell you, I don't just want to tell you to buy the book. I want to tell you to buy it now. I want to see his number on Amazon jump before this hour concludes. Go to Amazon.com, type in White Apocalypse, and buy the book. We have got to support the people who are out there fighting on behalf of our interest, and Kyle Bristow is one of them. I want to read you the product description from Amazon, and if this doesn't pique your interest, if this doesn't motivate you to go out and buy this book for $17.76, you can't go wrong. In White Apocalypse, a rogue anthropologist teams up with a proponent of the Salutrian hypothesis and a fiery lawyer in order to reveal to the world the shocking truth that carries immense cultural, political, and racial significance. 17,000 years ago, white people immigrated to North and South America from Europe, and when the Amerindians arrived by crossing the Bering Strait roughly 12,000 years ago, the latter subsequently and systematically murdered the former. The powers that be will do everything that they can to prevent this controversial theory from being exposed and espoused by the trio. And during this action-packed, semi-fictional thriller, the epic adventure will take the advocates of historical revisionism from the forests of southeastern Michigan to a federal courtroom in Ohio, from the busy streets of Washington, D.C., to an Amerindian reservation in Virginia. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just the synopsis. For more information, go to Amazon.com, search for White Apocalypse, and buy the book. Kevin MacDonald had this to write. The central topic of White Apocalypse is the ethnic conflict over the construction of culture, the central issue of our time. At its heart is an emotionally compelling account of whites as historical victims of non-whites, just the sort of thing we need to motivate a renaissance among our people. I highly recommend it, and ladies and gentlemen, so do I. Kyle Bristow, thanks for sticking with us through the commercial break. What elements of the book would you really like to bring to the audience's attention that has not yet been done?
Well, what I would like to talk about for a moment is that about the tactics of the left. About the tactics of the left. In my novel, I expose how the left operates, how they use violence and ad hominem attacks to try to win in the contest that is political discourse. And throughout the book, I talk about the different tactics that they have invented. For example, Jacques Derrida, a Jewish communist, invented deconstruction, which is the process by which Western works of art, literature, music, what have you, is interpreted to mean something that it does not. And in colleges today, the professors claim that Shakespeare was really advocating homosexuality, and they really do debase great works of Western art. Another thing I talk about is Franz Boas, another Jewish communist, and he invented cultural relativism to debase Western culture, to claim that Western civilization really isn't that much greater than what exists in other parts of the world. I talk about Karl Marx, another Jewish communist, who invented dialectical materialism, which spawns the ideology that saw to the death of over 100 million people in the last century. I talk about Saul Alinsky, another Jewish communist who invented the art of left-wing political agitation. I talk about the Frankfurt School and how those Jewish communists, there's a theme, I guess, to the left and who they are, but they invented critical theory, which Pat Buchanan discussed in his book, The Death of the West, as the systematic process of relentless attack of that which is viewed as emanating from Western culture. And another prevalent theme of my novel is that European civilization has been presented in an unfair light over the years. People present the ancient Europeans as barbarians, as savages, and that's just simply not the case. And I even delve into the situation of Otzi the Iceman and his bronze axe, which was discovered. And scientists, even though this European was found with a bronze axe, they will not say so because it would mean that Europeans made it to the Bronze Age before the Mesopotamians, before the Egyptians. This is huge.
Well, Kyle, with a book that has this much action, adventure, and intrigue, I got to ask you, when's the movie going to be made? You and Merlin Miller should really talk.
Yeah, that would be great. I don't see a movie being made, though, just because, you know, it's so controversial. I'm surprised Amazon's even carrying it, to be honest with you.
Well, don't give them any ideas, I can tell you that. But it's been doing quite well, you know, by all accounts, from what I've seen and what I've heard. And it's certainly hair-lipped our friends at the Southern Poverty Law Center. I saw, and of course, we've written about this on our website, and we're going to be promoting this book much more frequently as the weeks go on. We really want to get this into the hands of folks in time for Christmas. It's a great book, a great gift it would make. But in one of your chapters, you write about an oily, curly-haired troll, and the
right.
SPLC said, man, he's got to be talking about us, and they went into this long, hysterical diatribe about how, you know, in this work of fiction, the curly-haired troll gets shot, and they said that you were advocating that people come out and shoot them. But, you know, it's interesting. You know, none of us are advocating violence. You're not doing that. This is a book.
Correct.
The SPLC remained remarkably silent when movies like Machete and so many others have come out that glorify, you know, white death and carnage. Am I right or am I wrong?
Right. Well, here's the irony. The SPLC author, the writer who read my book and said it was bad, was the very same SPLC staff member who watched the Machete movie and reviewed it and praised it.
So, well, I really don't think anything else needs to be said above and beyond that. But the reason I even bring it up at all and reference those folks is that if they're condemning it, ladies and gentlemen, I can give you no more heartier endorsement than that. If that doesn't encourage you to go out and buy it, the fact that the SPLC has been spitting nails over the fact that this book even exists, then there's nothing more I can say on this radio program that's going to get you to go to Amazon.com and buy this book tonight, White Apocalypse by Kyle Bristow. And I tell you, Kyle, and I say it every week, time always flies when I'm hosting this show, but I can't believe that 30 minutes has almost come and gone since you were introduced a couple of segments prior. What can you say in summation that we haven't covered already? And we're going to have you back on. I know Winston Smith and Bill Rowland, Winston got detained at the Charlotte airport tonight and couldn't make it back to Memphis in time to sit in with me this evening. And Bill Rowland had a son that's having a birthday. Both of them have read your book also, and they really want to talk to you about it. So we're going to have you on when I can let my cohorts have a crack at you. But until then, what can you say in closing?
What I will say in closing is that truth is on our side, and all we have to do is speak and write and present our ideas, because our ideas are right, they resonate with our people, and we will win in the end. Throughout European history, our people have been attacked by the hordes from the Orient and Africa, and every time we come out on top. And I believe that we are not going to go down without a fight.
I said the very same thing in so many words just earlier tonight and on another radio program last night where I was appearing as a guest. And Kyle, I appreciate you for coming on and giving us hope and courage. And we appreciate you for writing your book and all the great work you've done in the past and all the great work that you will continue to do undoubtedly as we continue to fight on behalf of our people. And it's always great to have other young people on this program. Me just having celebrated my 30th birthday a couple of months ago. But, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that before Christmas, we will have Kyle back on And we'll let both Winston Smith and Bill Rowland interview him about this very book. I don't think we can promote it enough. But go to Amazon.com. White Apocalypse is the title. Search it. Buy it. You'll be glad you did. And, Kyle, thanks for spending a little bit of time with us tonight on the Political Cesspool.
Thank you. I'm honored to be on this fine show.
Well, again, as I said, the honor is all ours, and we hope that more of our listeners will support you in the work you're doing. And I've been teasing about it a couple of times already, but when you look at the number one book that is frequently bought with yours, what is it?
It's your book.
So what's that say?
Racism, Smacism.
People have good taste out there. My readers have good taste.
Yes, they do.
And hopefully my listeners do, too. I know that they do. Amazon.com, everybody. White Apocalypse. Kyle, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks again. Goodbye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Kyle Bristow, author of White Apocalypse, the great epic novel. Check it out. And when we come back in the third hour, I've got a couple of more items to bring to your attention, and we will talk to the legendary Reverend Ted Pike. Stay tuned.
The third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the rising sun.